Thank you. focusing lately on building. And some of you probably remember the upside down houses that reflect some of our lives that God actually offers to bring right side up. And then last week we talked about deconstructivism, the part of art in architecture that might also reflect some of our lives or what happens to it when we build them following not the proper or ordinary procedure. And although, look at this, it looks like a beautiful piece of art from outside, but God knows our life inside. We're all different in a way, very unique. Look at these houses. And having a neighbor so close, connecting, although no backyard. Some unique homes like this, structures. They look beautiful. Housing in the hill. I know we are encouraged to build on the rock, but, you know, maybe the idea of building in the rock is not that bad. And I heard about people living in the shoe boxes, but, you know, wonder how it feels to live in the shoe or in the car. Or for musicians, those who are fond of music, wouldn't be nice to live in the house like this. I hope Zlata will get rich sometime and I'll get to visit you in this type of house. And some people are obsessed with pineapples. Wouldn't be nice to live in this kind of mansion. Beautiful, huh? Or even this. But I guess we have to settle for this. Sometimes. But in any way, God is promising whatever waters are raging at us, or storms, no matter how strong the storms are around us, He will take care of us if we build on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. This is, in a nutshell, our sermon today. But we'll continue focusing our attention on constructive building. And constructive building is a unique building, or unique process. Very often in our ministry, church ministry, we talk about the good old days. And we make our decisions based on what has worked in the past. If it was good enough then it should be good enough today too. And sometimes we miss what is happening today because our lives are so tied up to yesterday. In Psalm 137, there's a description of some of the experience of Israelites. It says, by the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars, we hung our harps. For there, our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? And I understand the pain and the suffering they went through. But at the same time, God was building a new thing, but Israelites did not understand it. They saw the captivity as a tragic experience, while God used it to expand His kingdom. And even through the captivity, God was setting the stage for Jesus, the Messiah. We have a privilege today to have more information and to see a bigger picture because so much is known to us today. Tracing the paths of God's actions in history of humankind. And we know while they were in Babylon, God used that opportunity to share the news with people around them. And then from the history, you know, and the scripture tells us that the Babylonians were defeated by the Persians, that allowed the Jews to spread all over the Mediterranean. Then the Persians were defeated by the Greeks, who would unify the nations around them by their language and culture. And then, in their turn, they were defeated by the Romans, who built the roads and provided the communication and transportation means to reach the whole world of those days. So when Jesus was born, the stage was set for his message to spread like wildfire, reaching all the corners of the earth in one generation. Every generation has its own unique approach to life's challenges. And the gospel can be preached in new ways and made appealing and relevant to every generation. The way Helmut Tillichke put it, the gospel must constantly be forwarded to a new address because the recipient is repeatedly changing his place of residence. Your life is unique. Your husband is unique. Your wife is unique. Your children are unique. Your family is unique. I know, although there are so many good churches around this area, our church here in Yucaipa is unique in many good ways. There are no other churches like this. I wonder if you had a chance to see a movie, Mr. Holland Opus. It is about a man who had passion and dream to compose a symphony. But he had to settle for a job as a high school band teacher to pay his bills. Life has its way to limit our dreams sometimes. But his passion was to compose a symphony. And for the next 35 years, he was working as a high school band teacher, never having a chance to finish his symphony. When he retires, his former students gather together to honor their high school music teacher. One of their former students is now a governor. When she takes the podium, she says, "Mr. Holland, we are your symphony. We are the melodies and notes of your opus. We are the music of your life." You know, in every one of us, our lives, we reproduce our influences and values in our own unique way through our involvement in Christian service, serving as volunteers or a leader of a care group, or any other types of ministry. And we often expect the youth to follow our dreams and our ways, our methods. But while we need to instill biblical values and equip them with spiritual tools to live Christ-centered lives, we should allow and encourage them to use our experiences and the common ground, the solid ground of Jesus Christ that we all have, but build in their own unique way their lives and ministries. We tend to compare our lives, our business, our relationships, our church, and experiences to others. And sometimes, if you would have known the details of the other person's life or relationship, you might not even want to have that kind of relationship. Never try to compare your life to someone else's life. It's never the same. Constructive building requires team effort. When Solomon was ready to build the temple in God's honor, we read that he reached out to different kings, different nations, and he told them, I need your wood, I need your workers, I need your participation in the opening ceremony and other activities. Solomon, the richest man in the world, could have said, I don't need anybody. I'm big enough and strong enough and rich enough to pay my bills and take care of it on my own. However, he had wisdom to realize the power of a team effort. It is hard to have a successful life, successful relationship without support in our lives, without a team around us. In successful marriages, it's also important to have a husband and wife as a team and work on their relationship together. There's a story about the king of Sparta in ancient Greece who boasted to a visiting monarch about his mighty walls of Sparta. And when his visitor, his guest, looked around, he didn't see any walls. And after a while, he asked the king, his host, "I'd like to see those walls that you're talking about. Show them to me." And the Spartan ruler pointed with great satisfaction and pride to the well-trained, disciplined soldiers, the part of Sparta's mighty army, and said, "Those are the walls of Sparta." You know, Scripture tells us that we are all living stones in God's spiritual house, God's spiritual building. And Paul uses the same imagery in Ephesians 2:19-22, saying, "Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Together, we form a spiritual building, and every piece is valuable and has its place and function. Stephen pointed this out in Acts 7, that our God does not dwell in temples made with hands. His temple is found in the hearts of his people. So we're not just a building, just any building. We are a special building. We are a building that could possibly, that any building could possibly have, the dwelling place of God. Paul describes constructive team process of building in 1 Corinthians 3:6-9-10. "I planned," he said, "Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it." Someone said, "Great churches are not built by gifts and talents of few, but by giving and sacrifice of many." And I know that so many of you here this morning are the ones who served on a construction crew for God's spiritual building in the past for many years. And now the rest of us are continuing building this ministry on the foundation that you laid in the past. And now our collaboration today is always and also just like yours with a great architect and builder who is our God, Jesus Christ. Constructive building is a progressive process. There is a picture that I would like to show you here, a story. Let's see if we can get it. A story of Sarah Winchester, the heir of Winchester Rifles, who received $20 million inheritance plus $1,000 a day income. She moved to San Jose, California, and she hired 16 carpenters to build on the property that she purchased, the 8-room farmhouse on a 160 acres lot. And look at this. This is the aerial view, a door to nowhere. It's an enormous building, a huge building. But here's the story. Well, for the next 38 years, the 16 carpenters plus other workers were continually involved in building and adding more and more rooms and facilities to the building that she already had there, working 24 hours a day. So when she died, the house covered 6 acres, had 6 kitchens, 13 bathrooms, 40 stairways, 47 fireplaces, 52 skylights, 467 doors, 10,000 windows, 160 rooms, and a bell tower. And they say that the house never was finished. Well, there is something more to the story. The reason why she was doing that, she suffered from the anxiety. She felt like she was hunted by evil spirits. And by adding all kinds of new additions and facilities to the house, she thought that she can confuse the spirits with labyrinths and secret ways. And probably that's why that door that leads or goes nowhere was up there. But besides the illustration, this story that gives us a negative illustration of incomplete building and also different reasons, I could see a positive application there of God's continual building of our spiritual lives. That for almost 2,000 years, or more than 2,000 years, new stones are being added to the body of Christ. And every time that when we have a baptism or conversion and commitment to his service, God is building and always continues to add people to his structure, spiritual structure. And it's always in progress, always growing. It should be also applied to our personal experiences when we build our lives. Never stop building. Continue growing. Continue add features, spiritual features that will make your relationship with God stronger. Constructive building requires appropriate skills. In 1 Corinthians 3, 12 through 15, it says, "Now anyone who builds on that foundation may use gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But there is going to come a time of testing at the judgment day to see what kind of work each builder has done. Everyone's work will be put through the fire to see whether or not it keeps its value. If the work survives the fire, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss." Sometimes we find some spots here in this building that makes us wonder about the skills of those who build it. But in general, wouldn't you appreciate that this building, this construction was done by professionals that we today can benefit from and greatly appreciate? God gave explicit instructions through David about building his temple. And when the time came for Solomon to build the temple, those plans were followed very carefully by his workmen. According to 1 Kings 6, 7, they didn't have to use any tools or any instruments at the construction site. It says, "In building the temple, only blocks dressed at the quarry were used, and no hammer, chisel, or any other iron tool was heard at the temple site while it was being built." There was no unnecessary noise or commotion taking place in the important holy, at the site of the holy ground. Everything was prepared in advance in such a precise manner, measures, and with diligence and skills that it would fit right in when they brought it to the assembly site. We need more of those who can read and understand and follow properly God's blueprints. And if we ever reject the blueprints of God and start trying to build on our own, following our own instructions, our life will be just a great mess. We need more professionals, skilled spiritual workers in every sphere of church life and ministry. Constructive building is not an easy process. In fact, it is a very hard process. Comedian Yakov Smirnov, a Russian Jew, shared a funny story, and that's what comedians are for. as of his experience coming from Russia to the United States. And he had a sketch about how easy life is in America. And he said he was amazed and shocked with the abundance and variety of goods in American supermarkets. And when he went on his first shopping trip, he said, "I saw powdered milk. You just add water and you get milk. And then I saw powdered orange juice. You just add water and you get orange juice. And then I saw baby powder." Took you a while to get it. And he says, what a country. If life would be that easy. But no, Jesus was building the church and he knew that the life of his followers is not going to be easy, facing the realities of this world. Large crowds that followed Jesus from Samaria or Galilee to Jerusalem and in other places had a lot of people who sincerely were seeking the truth. But at the same time, there were a lot of those who we call spiritual window shoppers or tire kickers, or the curious who were hanging around just to see a miracle or to get a free meal. Being a Christian Sabbath morning like this is not difficult. It seems so nice and feels good. We all dressed up, we welcomed with friendly smiles and affirmation. We sing songs and we share meals together. But life out there is completely different. The Christian life out there in the communities, in our families, at school, at work, within our relationships, can be extremely difficult sometimes and very costly. And unfortunately, sometimes we experience even the church relationship that can contribute to our unhappiness. Some people leave the church because they can't keep up with the construction pace. Building is a hard process, and every member on our spiritual team is precious and valuable. When we have proper understanding of the concept of spiritual building, we will not be surprised by the trials and hardships when they come. And instead of confusion, we will know the purpose of it and will be prepared to deal with them. Constructive building is a process that must be divinely approved. This is the last point. However, it should be probably the first one and the main one. Just like Tabitha read, Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless God is involved in building our lives, in that process, whatever we do, the church, family, our relationships, business, it's all in vain. So often we fall into temptation and engage ourselves in the destructive living. And no matter how much effort we put into covering it up, no matter how beautiful it looks from outside and with intriguing designs that we mentioned called controlled chaos, it's still a chaos. And that results in disfigured lives and destroyed relationships. But the good news is that no matter how ugly our life structures can look like from outside, today, this morning, God offers to restore our inner being, bring the order into our lives, and decorate it according to His laws and His purpose. With Paul in Ephesians 3:16, I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. There is an old Chinese proverb that says, a journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. And I would like to encourage you this morning to open your hearts and lives for the Holy Spirit to bring the desire for you to build and construct your lives in godly manner. It's following the proper building process towards successful ending with Christ. It can be your spiritual personal life, and it can be a ministry of your home church. And I would like to encourage you to submit yourselves to God's leading and God's influence and His inspiration, and consider taking active part in church ministry, and also allow Him to help you to build your personal lives on His foundation. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the encouragement that You're bringing us today. That no matter how ugly our lives turned out, and how far we are in our destructive building, You're offering us to restore our lives back to normal and according to Your blueprints. And Lord, we thank You for Your inspiration to engage ourselves in constructive building in our lives, in our churches, in our ministry. And we pray that You would continue guiding and leading us in the process that would bring us closer to You and help us to have our lives restored and our relationships stronger. Sitting on the foundation of a solid rock, Jesus Christ. We thank You for offering us Your support and help. And we ask You to be with every one of us as we go different ways to offer our assistance to people around us in the community so their lives would be also brought to order. We thank You for being with us this morning. Your encouragement, Your comfort, and peace while storm is raging around us. In Jesus' name, amen.